It is time again to be a student in the Warren County Radio Bible School. You want to get your Bible and turn to the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. We're talking about the return of the Jews from Babylonian captivity and the rebuilding of their temple. And to guide us through this lesson, we're looking at a Sunday school lesson that was written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of June 15th, 1924. When you find the book of Ezra, we might want to turn to the lesson text of Ezra chapter 3, verses 8 through 13, and then we're also going to read Ezra chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, and we will begin there in just a moment. Before we do, I need to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now let's look at our lesson text, Ezra chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. Now in the second year of their coming into the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month, began Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua the son of Jozadak, and the rest of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all they that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old upward to have oversight of the work of the house of Jehovah. Then stood Jeshua with his sons and his brethren, Kadmiel and his sons, the sons of Judah, together to have oversight of the workmen in the house of God, the sons of Henadad with their sons and their brethren, the Levites. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of Jehovah, they set the priest in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise Jehovah, after the order of David, king of Israel. And they sang to one another in praises and giving thanks unto Jehovah, saying, For he is good, for his loving kindness endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised Jehovah, because the foundation of the house of Jehovah was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and heads of fathers' houses, the old men that had seen the first house, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. Now turn over to Ezra chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. And here we read, And the elders of the Jews builded and prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. They builded and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel, according to the decree of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And this house was finished on the third day of the month Adar, which was the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. The devotional reading is the 100th Psalm. There's an inscription to the 100th Psalm in the American Standard Version of 1901. It is called a Psalm of thanksgiving, and you'll recognize the psalm. Make a joyful noise unto Jehovah, all ye lands. Serve Jehovah with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that Jehovah, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Give thanks unto him, and bless his name. For Jehovah is good, his loving kindness endureth forever, and his faithfulness unto all generations. As we begin this Sunday school lesson, we begin with some historical facts. And first we want to ask, why this captivity? Now we're talking there about the captivity that was in Babylon that lasted about 70 years. And here's the answer that we receive as we look at the notes given to us by E.A. Elam. God punished the Israelites by captivity and servitude according to his solemn warnings in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And you may want to go back and read Deuteronomy 28. For everything that happened to Israel was in accordance with what God told them would happen if they were to forsake him, and it came to pass as it was written. The book of Judges gives an account of the lapses and restoration of the Israelites, while Kings and Chronicles give the downfall and captivity, first of the kingdom of Israel, and next of the kingdom of Judah. The subjects of the kingdom of Judah were carried into captivity at different times, but two principal deportations were, first, when Jeconiah, his mother, princes, soldiers, and artificers were carried away captive in 2 Kings 24, 10-19, and second, when Jerusalem was destroyed, as we read about in 2 Kings 25, 1-21, sin weakened them and made them easy victims of their enemies. God's discipline and correction are not signs of his displeasure, but of his love. The chastisement of his love has served its purpose when it produces in his children the fruit of righteousness. The Jews were cured of idolatry. They repented of their sins and returned unto God. We read in Psalm 119, verse 67, and in verse 71, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I observe thy word." In captivity, the Jews were in God's school of correction. Here they passed through the furnace of trial until the dross of idolatry and other sins was consumed. They never could have returned to Jerusalem before learning these lessons. The 10 tribes in a body never returned, but many of them returned with the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. We read of those other tribes serving God in the temple in Luke chapter 2 and verse 36. Many of the Levites returned to Judah soon after the establishment of the kingdom of Israel, and many were in this return from Babylon, according to Ezra 2:36-42. Of course, many of those Israelites that were lost from those northern kingdoms into Assyrian captivity just became mingled among the peoples of the world, and they lost their identity as Israelites and were simply their descendants counted among the Gentiles. It's when the gospel went forth from Jerusalem into all the world, and the Gentiles responded in obedience to the gospel, that those of those scattered nations came in with the Gentiles, returning back to God in this much more glorious manner. Now the Jews were encouraged to repent and were prepared for this return through the prophets of God. Just as they were not carried all at once into Babylonian captivity, neither did they all return at the same time, but from the beginning of the captivity to the beginning of the return, and from the destruction of the temple unto its completion when rebuilt was 70 years. Now, number two of these historical facts. First, why this captivity? Number two, the return was foretold. God not only foretold this captivity and his solemn warnings against sin, but foretold it would last for 70 years. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 25 and verse 12, Jeremiah had said, "And it shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith Jehovah, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans, and I will make it desolate forever." And again, in Jeremiah chapter 29, in verse 10, "For thus saith Jehovah, after 70 years are accomplished for Babylon, I will visit you, and perform my good word toward you, in causing you to return to this place." Jeremiah had instructed the people in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 1 through 8, how to respond to this carrying away into captivity by those Babylonians. Jeremiah says, "Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders of the captivity, to the priest, and to the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon, after that Jeconiah the king, and the queen mother, and the eunuchs, and the princes of Judah, and Jerusalem, and the craftsmen, and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem. By the hand of Elisha, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Babylon, sent to Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, Thus saith Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all the captivity whom I have caused to be carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon, build ye houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, and multiply ye there, and be not diminished. And seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray unto Jehovah for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, Let not your prophets that are in the midst of you, and your diviners, deceive you, neither hearken ye to their dreams which ye cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name, and I have not sent them, saith Jehovah." And so, following those instructions, the Jews in captivity built houses, planted gardens, reared families, and sought the peace of their captors, as we have learned. And hence they increased in wealth and numbers, and some, as Daniel and Nehemiah, rose to places of the highest positions of trust and honor in the governments of those kingdoms. Now, fact number three, we want to talk about Cyrus and his proclamation. We're asked to compare 2 Chronicles 36, 22 and 23 with Ezra 1, 1 through 3. It is because our time is growing short for this class that I'm going to begin there in the next class, and we'll make that comparison. You see, Cyrus, he was the king of Persia. His father and his mother was the king and queen before him. And we have learned how he captured Babylon, and how that Darius reigned a while as king of Babylon. But Cyrus was the one that actually conquered it. And it was in the first year of Cyrus, who was the actual ruler over Babylon, that he proclaimed throughout all his kingdom concerning the building of the temple and the Jews' return to Jerusalem. And that's what we'll talk about in our next class. Mark your Bible there to the book of Ezra. And as you can, make it a point to come by and visit us at the Rock Cliff Church of Christ and see how we try to worship and serve God according to the teachings of the New Testament.